Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On Broncos, your daily Denver Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Kind of interesting, after Trevor Siemian's named the starting quarterback of preseason game number 3, which was a big deal, obviously, that he could not throw in practice. He had a bruised shoulder, suffered that when he tried to make the tackle of Eric Reed after throwing the interception against San Francisco last week. It is a bit ironic that he couldn't make any throws. But I don't think, frankly, that people should be too alarmed about that or read too much into it. I don't think this is, honestly, a huge deal. It's always kind of a big deal when a quarterback can't throw in practice. But at least from what they say and what I'm hearing, he's going to be fine. He's going to be able to play Saturday night against the Rams. And frankly, I think it may be the most anticipated preseason game since I've been doing the Broncos. And that is all the way back into the 1990 season.
Yeah, if you were to ask me, this is now my 11th season around the team, the biggest preseason game that I can remember to date prior to this would have been Jay Cutler's return because of how Josh McDaniels got rid of him. But that was more just from a soap opera standpoint, not a on-the-field what's-going-to-happen standpoint. But I think you're absolutely right in terms of, will Trevor Siemian calm fans' nerves? Will he go out and play a good quarter and a half, however long he plays, without any turnovers, move the offense down the field? Because now they're into game planning, and they were yesterday working against a look of the Rams and trying to really get into your normal season preparation. And so will they run their offense maybe a little more traditionally in the way Gary Kubiak likes to run it? Because as you and I have talked about, they've thrown the ball more than any team in preseason.
Well, and I think Gary Kubiak has been honest about it. He said he wanted to showcase his quarterbacks and to give these guys equal opportunity to show what they can do. Thus, he's tailor-made the script to really focus on the quarterbacks and let them throw the ball. It is, however, as you said, not really what the Broncos will be doing once the regular season starts. And I think you are correct. I think they'll come out Saturday night and they'll be more of a focus on the running game. Not to say that Siemian and Sanchez and Lynch won't throw the ball, but I don't know that they'll throw the ball as much. You want to make sure that the running game is up to par and where it should be before September 8th when the Panthers roll to town. The only other preseason game, as I sit here, that I can think of that may have created this much of a buzz, you got to go back a ways. But if you think to the start of the 1999 season, after John Elway retired, 16-year NFL quarterback, all with the Broncos, and then it was, well, will it be Bubby Brister, or will it be third-round draft choice Brian Greasy? And they kind of battled in the preseason. And then Mike Shanahan decides that he's going to go with Brian Greasy. When a lot of, and we've talked to a lot of the guys, not a lot of them, but a handful of guys on that team were very much surprised with that decision. So maybe 17 years ago, there was as much fanfare and excitement about preseason football. But what's going to happen Saturday night, I think, has everybody's attention if you're a Broncos fan in Denver.
And I don't want to discredit Broncos fans of yesteryear, and that wasn't that long ago. But the game is so much bigger now, even, and I think the rest of the league is probably paying attention even more, and the rest of the world. And if you want to blame or give credit to fantasy football for growing the sport, fine. But the Broncos are the top storyline across the NFL in a lot of ways, because you've got a Super Bowl caliber roster, spots 0 to 1 to 50, and then I'm not saying you don't have Super Bowl caliber quarterbacks, but to have a question mark.
It's just an unknown.
Yeah. So, and Gary Kubiak, though, always quick to get out in front of a story. Even yesterday, he let us know, as he addressed the media, that Trevor should be fine and wanted to calm everyone's fears.
I told you guys, he got a very sore shoulder when we made that tackle the other night. He did take run game and stuff in practice, took individual, but was unable to throw today, so we'll see where we're at tomorrow. Yeah, my plan, I expect him to be there, but it's going to be a day-to-day process, it looks like, you know, as we get him ready to go.
So Gary Kubiak is fairly certain that he's going to be fine. I think everybody else is equally certain. And so we'll see Trevor Siemian start the game Saturday night against the Rams. Again, the story, I think, At least maybe not as big a story as Simeon's health, but who's going to be the next quarterback in the game? I think that will tell us a lot. And if it's Paxton Lynch, then I think the Broncos clearly are making a statement, even though they won't admit to this publicly, and I understand as to why. But if Lynch is the second quarterback in Saturday night against the Rams, then I think based on how Lynch plays in practice and in games up until the regular season opener, that will decide whether Mark Sanchez is on this roster or not. If Lynch proves in practice and in game time that the coaches can be confident in him should something happen to Trevor Siemian, that they feel like he could go in and execute a game plan in a regular season and he'd be okay with that, then I think there's a pretty good chance Mark Sanchez will not be here for obvious reasons. The Broncos would not have to give up a seventh-round draft choice to the Eagles. They would save about $3.5 million in salary cap space. But if Lynch still is uncertain in terms of how the Broncos coaches look at him with respect to being a guy that could come in and finish a game and help his team win in the regular season, then I think you'll see Mark Sanchez on this roster.
And it's worth noting, with Trevor Siemian handling some quarterback duties in 9-on-7, but not when they had to go full team, Mark Sanchez was in there ahead of Paxton Lynch yesterday because Even though training camp's over, practices are still open to the media, and so we were able to watch, and Sanchez got the call. If Siemian can't go full go today and Paxton Lynch gets those reps ahead of Mark Sanchez, then I think bells and whistles are going off a little bit bigger and brighter. But I guess we'll see. And Gary may not want to feed into that and may make the decision to play Paxton Saturday without letting us see it during the week.
As we move on, one bit of good news, I think, for Broncos fans. DeMarcus Ware back in the practice field yesterday. Looks like he is good to go. They've really walked him through this back issue. It was interesting that he said yesterday he was about 70% healthy in the Super Bowl. And it's not all that unusual. I think if you were to poll most guys when they play, especially deep into the season, right? And that's the last game of the season. I think most guys would be operating about 70 to 75, maybe 80% in terms of full health. But it was interesting that he came out and said that.
Well, and then what got a laugh, and DeMarcus Ware being DeMarcus Ware, he said soon he'll be back to 94%, obviously referring to his jersey number, and that got a good laugh. I asked him directly, I said, why were you on the non-football injury list? I said, was it all the air travel? Because he went to Africa with Demaryius Thomas. He went to Australia on his own, and he joked that he was even the pilot at one point. But he thinks it was just 12 years of wear and tear, so they couldn't pinpoint a specific incident, if you will. And so they had him on the non-football injury list. They were easing him back into practice. He did all the one-on-one stuff, all the individual stuff. Then as they went into team stuff, he went in with the strength and conditioning staff into the indoor facility. And according to Gary Kubiak, worked even harder for 20 minutes. And then they brought him back out, and he just watched the end of practice there with his team. But having him on the football field in pads, it's just a different feeling. Sure, you're not going to count on him for 60 plays, and Gary Kubiak alluded to that even if he's ready to go for Carolina, he won't be out there 60 plays.
He's like that security blanket. He's the guy that you feel good about, I think, certainly from the fans' perspective when they see him on the field, but I think even from his teammates' perspective. When they see 94 in the game, he's a guy that makes big, big plays. He's done that his entire career. I know as a former player, you get very used to guys in the huddle. And when something happens and one of those guys isn't there, you know, at the NFL now says next man up. It was like that 30 years ago. But the reality of it is it's different when you look over there and you see somebody you're not used to seeing. DeMarcus Ware, I think, brings a comfort level to this Broncos defense. I found it interesting that he talked about Von Miller, and he talked about how Miller was more focused this training camp than he remembers him previously. And I think a couple of things in that regard. I think DeMarcus Ware has been really a huge asset to Von Miller in terms, not so much in terms of his game, but how he sort of goes about his business. I've seen a maturation of Von Miller the last couple of years. Maybe it's just because he's starting to get it. He's starting to understand what it is to be a pro and an elite pro like him. Or maybe some of DeMarcus Ware's habits have rubbed off on him a bit, which I tend to believe. I think Ware, just the way he conducts himself and goes about his business, he is a pro's pro. And when you see that every single day, when you see his preparation, when you see how he works with the strength coach, just to get back and to be able to play, it gives younger players like a Von Miller really a path So a path to success. I mean, Von Miller can look at DeMarcus Ware with over 130 sacks and say, I want to be that guy. How do I get to that point in my career and be as good as he's been his entire career? So I think D. Ware has really helped Von Miller on and off the field.
Well, and he came in and had Champ Bailey here, did Von Miller. He had Peyton Manning by his second year. And so there were vets around, and there are other guys we could go down the list.
But different positions.
Different positions. And so not only to bring in DeMarcus Ware at that position, but actually DeMarcus Ware, a guy Von Miller called his hero. He and Derek Thomas were the two guys he wanted to pattern his game after and his two favorite players. Von's a kid from Dallas, and so as he was really getting into football as a teenager and into college, DeMarcus Ware was the best player on his favorite team right down the street from where he grew up, and they played the same position. So I think the timing of it was perfect. And even though Von Miller is now your Super Bowl MVP, he's the highest paid defensive player in the league, and clearly much more mature than what we saw a few years ago when he was getting in trouble off the field and just, I think, acting a bit like a kid still. The timing of it was great, and they felt like keeping DeMarcus around for one more year, even though if we see him more than 20 snaps a game, and you mentioned it yesterday, I think that's going to be too many. And I look to Shane Ray to have a really big year stepping in. He just looks a lot. Like, guys take that big leap year one to year two. You can speak to that from not just all years around the game, but when you played, it seems like Shane Ray and then Shaq Barrett as well could make DeMarcus Ware's life really, really comfortable this year.
Yeah, I think the game slows down for you a little bit. They say the biggest change in a player's game comes between years one and two. I think his rookie season, no matter who you are, your rookie season is such a blur. The game moves so fast, and you can talk a good game. You can say, well, this is not that much different than what I experienced in college. It is. I mean, it's a lot different. It's football 24/7. You're getting paid very well to play football. It's a business now. And how you prepare for the game and how you prepare your body. The biggest change I've seen in Shane Ray is sort of his body structure. He came back to camp. He was 8 pounds bigger, but his body fat had gone down to below 10. I mean, the normal man, BK, of course, not you, but the normal man's body fat is somewhere between 20 and 25%, right? Or 20 and 22%. Shane Ray's at 9, and he's an outside linebacker, 251 pounds or so with great speed. So I think Shane sort of figured it out in the offseason. And again, listen, I attribute some of that to the presence of DeMarcus Ware. I mean, Shane Ray's a young guy. Here's D. Ware. You said Von Miller grew up watching DeMarcus Ware. I got to think Shane Ray probably was aware of who DeMarcus Ware was, too, at the University of Missouri. So to have that sort of presence, veteran presence in the locker room, and greatness, not just a veteran who's been around that's been a good player and they keep on. This is a guy who will be a Hall of Fame player at some point. How he's not only played on the field, but more importantly to me, how he's conducted himself off the field is the path to success for other NFL players, especially guys like Von Miller and even Shane Ray.
Yeah, and DeMarcus Ware, when asked about Von Miller, as you mentioned, he says he's more focused. Let's listen to D. Ware and his thoughts on Von now coming off the Super Bowl MVP season with the new contract.
He's a different guy. I mean, yeah, he did all the Dancing with the Stars and all the other stuff and, you know, traveled around the world. But when he came back, he was a lot more focused. Got a lot of that out of his system. And now you can tell by, you know, the tenacity, how he brings it to the field and practice, the leadership, also how he's being an even bigger leader and vocal guy. Usually he doesn't talk that much on the field, but now he's actually being a lot more vocal out there. And now we're tag teaming. He's on the left and I'm on the right, and everything else is in the middle. And it just feels great to have a guy like that.
So if there's a more focused Von Miller this year, that would be a scary thought, I think, for most of the NFL. Finally, Demaryius Thomas and Josh Norman. What an interesting duo. Josh Norman did an article in ESPN the magazine, I don't know, 4 or 5 months ago. He was quoted in the magazine about a number of things, but he spoke out about Demaryius Thomas and said basically, and again, I'm paraphrasing this, hey, you know, I shut you down. You had one catch in the Super Bowl. That's dumb, I think, on so many levels. But I thought Demaryius Thomas and his response was classic and really showed, again, the maturity of Demaryius Thomas at this point of his career. He just took a picture of his Super Bowl ring, right, and sent it out. And what do you say about Josh Norman in terms of where's yours, young fella?
Yeah, I want to get the tweet exactly right, but it was basically a mic drop. Where's yours, young fella? At I think his Twitter is at J underscore no, and it had some sort of icon, or like a smiley face, a bit of a smiley face. But he said, "Where's yours at, young fella?" And Demaryius Thomas, conversely, you didn't see him coming after Cam Chancellor saying, "Hey, I had 13 catches in the Super Bowl," or whatever that number. What do you, how many do you have in a loss?
They get 13, but they got their brakes beat off. So you're not going to say that, right?
So it was ultimate mic drop Twitter moment, and Josh Norman had zero response.
There have been so many things that have changed in the NFL. But one of the things that has really not changed at all, the two positions that cackle the most amongst NFL players are wide receivers and defensive backs. So I think Demaryius, listen, I wouldn't engage. I think Demaryius played it perfectly. I wouldn't engage Josh Norman. I mean, the reality of it is Demaryius has got a really nice, big, somewhat gaudy Super Bowl championship ring, and Josh Norman is playing with a completely different team. So there's never been a cornerback, even the really great ones, that from time to time don't get humbled. And Josh Norman, I think his time with respect to that is coming.
Here's what's funny, too. The final thing on Josh Norman, on the same day that this happened, so the ESPN The Magazine article comes out, DT responds, the new Madden game came out, which we know how many fans, you know, NFL fans played. It's the most popular game in America. There's a screenshot on the back. So this is the EA people that did this months ago. Of rookie running back Ezekiel Elliott with the Cowboys, stiff-arming Josh Norman. It's the biggest picture on the back. Like when they show, because they show like Von Miller celebrating. It has four pictures, basically, of what could happen in a game. And the one the EA Sports folks chose to make, you know, completely fake, but is rookie Ezekiel Elliott. He has yet to even play in the preseason, but stiff-arming Josh Norman in the face perfectly, and Josh Norman falling back. I was like, it's a rough day. He's going to mark August 24th. August 23rd is maybe one of the roughest days in his recent time.
My last comment to Josh Norman would be this. Young fella, if you can play, if you're a great player, everybody knows. Everybody will know. The more you tell them, you don't have to tell them if you're a great player. We can figure it out.
Right. Don't tell me you're funny. Just make me laugh. All right. He's Dave Logan. I'm Brandon Kristol. We'll see you tomorrow on the Locked On Broncos podcast.